The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. We had a whole plan. Her man look like he talked about it, made some decisions, felt good about coming into the studio knowing where we were going. Then I popped over onto my friends over at 620 WTMJ. Did I just say W?
You did.
WTMJ. WTMJ. And Gabe, they informed me of something very disturbing, very upsetting.
So they're playing the role of Chewy this morning?
Well, that's, yes, so they are the pivot, they're the off-ramp. Chewy's the human off-ramp, and this morning our friends over at WTMJ have assumed that role. The music is killing me at this point. Thank you, Joshy. So they told me, Gabe, that the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you're familiar?
Yeah. It's the stars, the people's names, the whole nine yards, sure.
Yes. Has decided in an unprecedented move to put Batman on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Just Batman in general?
Just Batman. Not Adam West, which he's probably on there. Not George Clooney, he's probably on there.
Definitely on there. Michael Keaton.
Christian Bale.
I mean, anybody who has played Batman at this point.
Ben Affleck?
Yeah, Ben Affleck deserves to be, yeah, without a doubt. He's got to be on there.
They're putting Batman on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Except for maybe Val Kilmer. Is Val Kilmer on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Iceman. Should be. Did he pass away? Throat cancer, right? Remember the big character in Tom Cruise's movie, which I've seen 27 times?
Yes. I am not sure if Val Kilmer is...
still with us.
Still with us. I am not going to commit to that.
Anyway, they're putting Batman on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. This feels like a very bad move. Batman is not a person. Batman is a character. Not only is he a character, he is a character played by actors who are on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Is this or is this not a slippery slope to other influential, memorable characters being put on the Walk of Fame?
But because I guess he's been played like... because, I mean, obviously Robert Pattinson has played Batman as well. It's one of the most various versions of animated voices have taken on the Batman role. But because they reboot it so often, is that why they're doing it? Because I think of, like, when we talked about with James Earl Jones. When James Earl Jones passed away, one of the characters that he is most known for, clearly, and is Darth Vader. Like, he
known
is one
for,
of the...
except for two. He was the only one in the history of the world that didn't know that he was the voice of Darth Vader.
Correct. But Darth Vader, I mean, he was a villain, so I don't want to call him beloved. But, you know, that is a very memorable character. That's a character that has lived on for a long time. But... because Batman's been played by and rebooted so many times, is that the reasoning behind this?
I don't know what the reasoning is. I don't know what the criteria is. I thought you had to be an actual living, breathing human. I asked.
Wait. Is Batman real? Have we put that? Have we debated? Have we complicated, maybe Batman's a real person and that's why they're doing this.
Well, then Batman should show up to the Hollywood Walk of Fame ceremony, and he is not. Do you know who is accepting the star for Batman? The president of DC Comics or something like that. Like, this is insane to me. Now, the guys did inform me that Mickey Mouse is on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, that Minnie Mouse is on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, that Snow White is on. But those are animated characters, not played by multiple people over multiple generations, multiple iterations.
Well, other than Snow White. I mean, Snow White has been. Same thing with Mickey. Like, it's not the same voice for Mickey Mouse that was back in the 40s.
No, but I'm talking about the voice. I'm talking about the character of Mickey Mouse.
Sure.
But it's an animated character as opposed to a character played by people.
Batman was animated.
Yeah,
there's
a ton of Batman animated, like, different little movies. Batman the Animated Series. I think they rebooted one recently on Amazon. If Mickey and Minnie are there, I've got no problem with Batman. Batman being there.
Okay, let me ask you this. He's the first superhero on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Shouldn't the first superhero have been, I don't know, Superman?
No, Superman stinks. Superman sucks.
Superman is literally an alien. He has superpowers. Batman has no superpowers.
Yeah, that's what makes him cool.
No, that's what makes him a dork.
No, that's what makes him great.
He's just super strong, hanging out there in that basement lair of his.
Yeah, and guess who can...
Forcing Alfred to do all of his bidding.
Well, he's not forcing him.
Well, he's paying.
There's a good paycheck. There's a good paycheck in it for Alfred. Yeah, like, come on. If you've got the money that the Waynes have, yeah, if Mickey and Minnie are there, I got no problem with Batman being there. I didn't realize, like, I thought this was going to be, like, the first non-person, the first character. But no, if there are other characters there, then I've got zero issue with this.
I'm happy to report Val Kilmer is still with us and was given a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1999.
Ooh, excellent news there.
Damn. Mm-hmm. A long time ago.
Well, that would have been the height, like
yeah,
high,
sure.
Time, high tide, if you will, for Val Kilmer.
Well, but I mean, the Hollywood Walk of Fame is like the Hall of Fame, you know, of acting, right?
So one more little detail to just throw your way. It costs $75,000 to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. These actors and actresses who have been honored in that way put up big bucks. Maybe not to them, but big bucks.
Wait, you have to pay for your own star?
Correct. Who is ponying up the dough for Batman?
DC.
Yeah. Well,
they got enough money.
Yeah. Is this working for them? Is this like a, I mean, we're talking about it, and I'm sure other people are talking about it, but like, what is the payout here? What is the end game here?
Well, again, I think that that's a very high honor, and if there are other characters in the history of, you know, movies and entertainment that are out there, yeah, then why not? Opens the door for other ones if you're...
Okay, so let me ask you this. They say... Batman is one of the most iconic fictional characters in the world. Who are some of the other more iconic fictional characters in the world? The most iconic fictional characters.
Does Bugs have one?
It's a good question. Excellent question.
If Mickey and Minnie are there, Bugs deserves to be there.
Looney Tunes?
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, I'm saying he kind of represents the overall... You know, I doubt Goofy has, or maybe he does... But when you think of Disney and their characters, Mickey, Minnie are typically one, two.
So here are some of the most popular fictional characters. Sherlock Holmes.
No.
Atticus Finch.
No.
Anakin Skywalker.
No.
Okay, somebody from Star Wars is getting on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, right?
Well, but no, because I don't think so. I don't think you need that because it's not going to be... I mean, they've continued the story and they're continuing to build out, but there's not like one through line. They're not rebooting it the way Batman gets rebooted, the way that Mickey, Minnie are always featured in, you know, whatever series they happen to be in.
I'm going to find one that is more iconic than Batman. Indiana Jones.
No.
What?
No.
How is Indiana Jones not more iconic than Batman? Again, I guess I got to put my biases out there. I think Batman is a second-rate superhero.
See, that's where you're wrong.
The rest of the world disagrees.
Yeah. that's.
I guess you can believe whatever you like.
Required superpowers. Batman has none. Ergo, not really a superhero.
But that's
he's
also
more like a glorified rich guy.
But that's why he's also one of the more interesting characters to dive into, which is why the series has been rebooted so many times and people continue to come back to it. Because guess who's more relatable? The super rich guy or the alien who can only be stopped by a mystical stone?
Well, if we're putting rich guys who are sort of quasi superheroes on there, then Iron Man's got to go on
there. Okay, so you want to talk about second rate superheroes?
Iron Man is incredible.
Is
Iron
the
Man.
Most second rate, like, again, we can get as nerdy as we would like here, but the only reason that Iron Man became a movie is because Marvel sold off all of their actual valuable properties and went, oh, maybe we need to get in on this, and then got lucky with Robert Downey Jr. and were able to build now what they have.
Are you trying to tell me that my argument that Superman is a better superhero than Batman is falling flat?
Yeah, 100%.
He's literally super man.
Yeah, but guess who took him out? Batman.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Did Batman take him out or did Batman's tools take him out? Did Batman's toys take him out? Let's be honest. Okay, I got a more iconic character. A more iconic character than Batman should have been on the Hollywood Walk of Fame before Batman if he was not. Josh, you're going to have to do a little research here. James Bond. James Bond is hands down more iconic than Batman. How many James Bond movies are there? 34? I'm throwing a random number out there.
I think it's 25 or 26.
Is it really?
Yeah, 25 or 26.
Did you need to know that for a trivia contest?
No, I just remember they made a big deal out of, I think it's 26, because I think the second to last one for Daniel Craig, they made a big deal out of it being the 25th one. And I think he did one more after that. So I think it's 26.
James Bond is not on there, but all the actors that have played him are. When you're so... The one that makes James Bond always has been a human. There's been no fictional James Bond.
Yeah.
So they just honor James Bond by putting on all the people who've played him.
Yeah. Because Batman started as a comic book character, you know, was an animated character. Now he's been able to be on screen, be animated. The comic books, they all continue. Like, he has all these forms of mediums that they're pushing out there to consume Batman content.
27, according to Rotten Tomatoes, James Bond movies, and it tells you how you can watch them in order, should you so choose. James Bond is way more iconic, in my opinion, than Batman. And James Bond is much like Batman, there's a generational thing there, right? Like, you remember, based on when you were exposed to James Bond, who played the actor of that various generation.
Yeah.
Similar to the Batman series, or however you want to...
If somebody continued the Ian Fleming book series, because a lot of those, and they're not even based on books anymore. I mean, some of them have, and they pull from them, but that's where the James Bond character came from. If somebody continued that... then I think you'd have a case. But Batman's been going since the 40s, man. Like, Batman's been going strong for 80 years.
I'm sorry. I did not realize I was sitting amongst big Batman. I did not realize that you were, like, king or president of the big Batman fan club. This is news to me.
No, I mean, is Batman fantastic?
Stunned.
Yeah, Batman's fantastic. I think Batman ignorant.
I don't think I'm Batman ignorant. I think I am.
You're a Batman hater.
You're anti-Bantite. There we go.
I am anti-bats, that's for sure. I mean, I don't know if you're going to find people out there.
So is Batman.
Yes, that's true.
You're anti-solving crime, things of that nature.
Do you think this is a slippery slope then? Do you think this opens them up to putting more and more fictional, iconic characters on? What about the entire Godfather franchise?
No.
What about, I mean, there have got to be characters out there that I read off a bunch of them that people find to be iconic.
Sure. But again, they don't have the longevity and the number of different mediums that Batman has. Again, I think Batman.
Harry Potter.
No.
Well, for an entire generation,
There's 8 Harry Potter books. That's it. That's the list. Boom. That's it.
The fact that you know that off the top of your head is like nerd alert. Like, there's a nerd alert thing happening.
I haven't read
a
single one of those books, but there's 8 Harry Potter books.
Hannibal Lecter.
No.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
No.
I'm running out of people.
Had I thought about the Hollywood Walk of Fame one time other than like when the dude did it in his sweater, I think it'd be a slippery slope.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Dude did it in his
Jeff
sweater.
Jeff Bridges from, what's the movie?
From Big Lebowski.
But there we go. And him and Walter Sobchak were like talking in character as they were receiving it. Had I thought about it any other time in the past 2 decades, I think it would, like, if you would have told me they stopped doing Hollywood Walk of Fame, I would have told you, yeah, that sounds about right.
Probably ran out of space.
Yeah. How long can this walk be? My legs are getting tired.
It's very long. It might be miles and miles. I haven't looked at how long it is. But
it has to be at this point.
Let's just, from a principal standpoint, guys, are we okay with this sort of walkable museum that people buy their way into? Like, isn't that a little weird? Like, hey, I'd like to be a part of the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Here's my $75,000. Put me in.
I fear you would probably be able to do that.
Yeah, somebody out there going, 75K? Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that, if again, you probably have to keep it a little quiet, but Would an association be willing to accept your money in order to give you a spot in their Hall of Fame? Yes.
Well,
I believe that is possible.
I think everybody knows the keeping it quiet part would be the part that really evades me. We got to take a break here.
I just don't understand why you think I
stepped into the Batman fan club here.
Again,
I had no idea.
Well,
I was not prepared for that.
I was with you until you told me, like, oh, they've done this with other characters. Like, Batman being the first wouldn't have made sense. But if Mickey and Minnie are in characters like that are already in there, it makes all the sense in the world for Batman to be there.
What about Barbie?
If she's not there, she should probably be, but it's a little bit different.
Influential, yeah. Iconic.
Yeah, but she's not, I mean, outside of Barbie the movie, which just recently came out.
Like, there has to have been Barbie TV shows, but I do not know their success.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Barbie is... But
Barbie started out as a toy
in
the 1950s.
Correct.
We're talking about, like, generations and generations of people.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think it's a toy, whereas, like, and she eventually grew that empire, but she doesn't have a base in Hollywood. You know, like, that's not the beginning. That she doesn't have, this big fictional story that everybody knows.
Did we figure out if Bugs Bunny was on the list or not?
I believe so, yes.
Makes sense.
Captain America?
No, he wouldn't be on there.
Why?
Because he's not Batman. Batman is the GOAT superhero.
Can you set aside your obvious Batman bias for one moment?
But here's the thing, Jen. Like, I am not the one telling you this. I'm not the... I'm the one breaking the news, but how many Captain America movies are there? Couple? How many people have played Captain America? One? How many people?
Name me a single one.
Really? Chris Evans?
What am I watching baby movies for?
That's a whole other take we can get into.
But you listed off all the actors who have played Batman, all the different iterations of Batman. Like, that's why he's up there. Batman is the GOAT. The reason why they keep rebooting Batman is because people continue to show up for it.
Okay, Charlie Brown. Does Charlie Brown deserve a spot on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yes.
I would imagine the author of Charlie Brown probably is already on there in some form.
Charles Schultz.
Yeah, I want to be clear here. I'm like Batman agnostic, but the disrespect is crazy. I didn't have a big Batman opinion before 10 minutes ago, but you're counting him out like he's some schlub.
He feels a little schlubby. There's a little schlub.
He's got like 100 years of like dominating that whole world.
Yeah.
Didn't the Joker get the best of him, really, if we really think about it?
No.
No.
That's the whole point of the movie.
Yeah, it's the whole point of superhero movies.
All right. I guess I'm going to take the L here on this one. 800-990-3776. Batman is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He is the first superhero to do so. I cannot believe that the first superhero on the Hollywood Walk of Fame isn't Superman. But I digress and have for the last 18 minutes. We got to get to Jason Wilde to talk about those Green Bay Packers. Will Jordan Love be under center this weekend when they host the Minnesota Vikings? We'll check.
Relive the greatest Bucks postseason run in Bucks history with the Bucks in Six podcast. Bucks in Six presents a special series commemorating the Bucks title run in 2021. From the thrilling seven-game series against the Nets to the 50-piece from Giannis to cap it off in the finals, immerse yourself in the sounds of each playoff round. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus audio network. Find it now, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde joining us this morning to talk about the green and gold. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Well, that's not what I want to talk about.
Oh, great. Here we go. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
If you have the opportunity, I don't know where you need to find it on ESPN Plus, but check out the E60 28 outs. I'm sure you discussed it at the time. But I wasn't listening that day. And this is the great thing about television. If you use your television like I do, which is like a 73-year-old man, which is flipping through channels on cable and then stopping and finding something that piques your interest. Because everyone streams everything now, the kids these days, and you never stumble upon anything that's really, really good. But the 28 outs piece that you did about the Jim Joyce umpiring gaffe on the final out of a perfect game was fantastic. And I would have never seen it because I didn't realize you had done it. And if I hadn't just been scrolling through channels and come across it, we're never known. So take a little time once in a while when with your Disney Plus and your Netflix and all these other streaming services to go through your, I mean, if you still have cable, maybe you cut the cord. But if you have that ability, I highly recommend doing it because you stumble onto stuff that's pretty darn cool. And that was really well done. So bravo to you.
ESPN Plus, just Google 28 Outs if you haven't seen it.
Yes, I really appreciate that. That was a lot of work. It was a year plus in the making. We did 40 plus interviews for the piece. And I really appreciate you watching it and endorsing it. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now what?
Jason, he's starting, right? He's starting on Sunday?
And he's not talking about Batman, just so you know. Because
not talking about Batman, not talking about Galarraga, not talking about Jim Joyce. I'm talking about Jordan Love.
Yeah, the way I described it in my story this morning in the State Journal was the last time we talked to Jordan was last Wednesday, and he sounded like a guy trying to convince us there was a chance he might play. And I didn't think he sold the bluff very well. Yesterday, he sounded like a guy trying to convince us that there was still a chance he wouldn't play. And he didn't sell that very well either.
Why? Why do they play this game, Jason? I don't understand at this point.
I think in this case, I will say, this is way more legit. I mean, that, you know, it was my favorite moment was when I told him, hey, Matt wouldn't say last week if he took team reps. I asked him on Monday, and he said you did. And I said, were those first team reps or scout team reps? And Love got this huge smile and said, team reps, kind of like limited. So he was never playing last week, ever. Like, the fact that after the fact, LaFleur admitted that the workout was after they had decided that he wasn't playing, which that is not a new concept. Like,
no.
McCarthy used to do that all the time with guys. But they played the subterfuge game. I didn't think they played it very well personally, but that's fine. Now, I do think that there is this week, it's not, I think it's more CYA than it is, ooh, I might not be playing. You better get ready for Malik Willis. Ooh. I don't think it's that. I think it's, you know, they are at least trying to be prepared if for some reason, you know, he goes out there today and it just feels wonky and or he gets really bad swelling or whatever it might be. And there's some sort of setback. I don't think it's for show. I think it's more, hey, there's no guarantee that his knee's going to respond to 3 days of work in a way that allows him to still play on Sunday. So I think there's a little bit different motivation for him not flat out saying, like Tom Silverstein from the Journal Sentinel, to his credit, the first question out of the shoot at Love's locker was, not really a question. It was a command. Just tell us you're playing. That's what Spoon said. And am I playing? Day to day, we'll see. But it kind of set the tone of we know the game you're playing, but we also know that this was the game that you and the folks around you had been targeting from the very beginning.
Let me ask you this, Jason, because this all to me trickles down from Matt LaFleur. Is he just paranoid? Does he just not trust that he is better at his job than the guy on the other side of the field? Or is it just a reflection of the NFL and the margin of victory being so razor thin that you have to seize any advantage, even if it seems smoke and mirrors at this point?
Well, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean there's not somebody after you, of course.
Sounds like something Batman would say, just so you know.
I was thinking more of villain. I think it's all those things, right? But again, and I don't want to revisit this, just like I clearly don't want to revisit this Batman conversation. At some point, they are going to have to become more transparent about this because they've let the fox of betting into the hen house. And this is going to become increasingly problematic because people are legally and with a partnership with the league wagering sums of money on things that are going to occur in the games and that are dependent on players' availability. Remember, the NFL started having the injury report in the first place because of betting. It was illegal betting, or I guess legal in Vegas betting, but that was what prompted injury reports to begin with. And so I just playing these kind of word games with it, and you know, they let the 49ers off the hook, even though they clearly were being dishonest about Christian McCaffrey, who then wound up traveling to Germany for war treatment. So, I don't know where this is going to land eventually, but I firmly believe that this cat and mouse game, for whatever reason coaches like to play it, they're going to put a stop to it.
What is the biggest thing the Packers should be worried about against the Vikings?
A pass rush that leads the league in sacks versus a quarterback that will not be as mobile as he would be if he was 100% healthy. I just, everyone's giving Brian Flores all these bouquets, and rightfully so. Like, they do have a good defense. I'm not saying they don't. But there are still, you know, the Packers lit them up pretty good in the New Year's Eve game in Minneapolis. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen on Sunday. What I am saying is every defense has holes. And we were talking yesterday, and LaFleur and Love were making it sound like these were the 85 Bears. They're doing their Lou Holtz. But these guys are 3-0. Like, they're legit. I'm not saying they're not. My point is, though, is that if there was one thing that I'd be worried about, is it's that my quarterback is going to have limited mobility. No matter how hard he worked out before the game in Nashville, no matter how much work he does this week, he is not going to be able to move the same way that he did going into Brazil and he hadn't suffered any injuries, right? So to me, that's the big challenge is, you know, those guys up front have to block it up and be able to handle all the crazy things that a Brian Flores defense does to confuse you. And they're going to have to keep their guy safe because I don't care what you say. I know, you know, I talked to a few offensive linemen yesterday, and the party line, of course, is, hey, we protect the same no matter who's back there, right? It's our job to keep him clean and keep him safe. Well, it's true, but I'm sorry, I don't believe you if one guy is 100% healthy like he was for the opener, and now that same guy who is better than the guy that went 2-0 that we all think is an amazing story, but if he's not going to be able to move the way he normally would, you can't tell me as an offensive lineman you don't feel some measure of, all right, I got to do a really – I always try to do my best, but I really have to be on my game to keep this guy safe.
Yeah, the Vikings have the most sacks amongst all teams. But the good news is the Packers are a top six offensive line, and an offensive line is tough to rank. You can do it by individual position. You can do it by interior units. You can do it by the whole unit. But Sharp Football Analysis has the Packers as the sixth best offensive line through the first three games of the season. So maybe that offers a little bit of optimism for that unit going against a tough pass rush.
Maybe it's enough to get them a spot on the Walk of Fame.
See, now we're back. Look at that. We're back.
Jason Batman's the GOAT, right?
Oh,
he's the GOAT.
Love of God.
He is. I think I don't want to speak for the people that put together those sidewalks, but the problematic aspect of it, I don't know about other superheroes. That's not really my genre. But has there been any fictional character who has been played by more people than Batman?
James Bond? Well, no, James Bond is only like five or six,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, especially when you start factoring in the voice actors, like I don't think that anybody has been portrayed more than Batman.
Clooney, Val Kilmer,
Keaton,
I mean, yeah,
exactly. West, Pattinson, Affleck,
Clooney. Everybody
Bale.
Forgets about Clooney.
It's because
that was the first one I said.
Oh, sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, and he did go, I believe, on Letterman once and was asked, "Oh, are you familiar with Arnold Schwarzenegger?" And he goes, "Yeah, we tried to kill the Batman series together."
That's true. There were some bad Batmans and bad villains. And at one point, wasn't Uma Thurman a villain? Poison Ivy or something?
She was.
There were very bad.
That was in the
villains.
Val Kilmer one, I believe.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Of course, we will be monitoring social media to see, hopefully, and to your point about the betting, it hasn't changed. Joshie and I discussed this last night on Weekly Wager, our show at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We anticipate that the line, which is 2.5 right now in favor of the Packers, will change once we know who the quarterback is. And that information may come out, you know, whatever, right before the game, or it may leak out, you know, tomorrow or today. But we anticipate that that line will change with that information.
Go see Just a Bit Outside in theaters and go find 28 Outs on NFL on ESPN+.
Thank you, Jason. We appreciate you. Jackie weighing in the 414 saying, Batman sucks. The only reason he's relevant is because the villains he faced were top tier. Subpar superhero.
It's okay to be wrong.
I'm just saying, I'm not the only one who thinks that Batman sucks.
Sure.
He went a little hard to the hole, but I'm right there with him. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Got a lot of people yelling at me. A lot of people who are like, this conversation is ridiculous. Batman is the GOAT. I had no idea there were so many Batman stands out there. But we will talk a little Green Bay Packers when we get back on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things because it exceeds. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
All right,
my
can
apple.
We just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Dreaming of a new home before summer ends? Great Midwest Bank has the perfect mortgage loan for you. Let's make your dream a reality. Their loan officers work to provide a personalized and secure banking experience for their customers. And they feel like friendly neighbors because, well, they are. They always take the time to truly understand your situation and find the right type of loan for your needs. Head over to your neighborhood Great Midwest Bank, simply local since 1935. So it was a topic of conversation yesterday at 12:65. How are the Green Bay Packers going to handle the defense? Now, I think a really good point that Joshie has brought up, that other people have brought up, is the last time the Green Bay Packers faced Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, they did pretty well. It was a pretty good outing by the Green Bay Packers offense versus that defense. It does seem like the 3-0 start is sort of pouring into the heightened concern about what the Vikings can do when they come to Lambeau Field this weekend. But let's hear from Matt LaFleur yesterday talking about the importance of the Packers quarterback to be mobile against that defense.
8 sacks you guys had. The Vikings have 16 on the season. They're leading the league. How is Jordan's ability to move in and out of the pocket going to be even more important if he's able to go against a group like this?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a concern. So we'll just, we got to do a great job in terms of our protection calls, making sure that we get body on a body, and then you got to go and actually block these guys, which isn't the easiest task to do either. So I think they got a lot of good rushers in there. I think they rush collectively as a unit, as one, as good as anybody. I mean, their pick games that they're running, it causes a lot of carnage on the offensive line at times. And they've also done a great job. It shows up all over the tape, just getting free runners at the quarterback and sacking the quarterback.
Minnesota on pace to break the all-time team record for sacks in a season by a team set by the Vikings back in 1989. That according to StatMuse. Gabe, are you concerned at all about this pass rush? Giving Jordan Love fits and potentially, again, coming off an injury, getting him hurt again.
I guess I'm not really concerned. If he's ready, you know, to go out there and play, yeah, I'm concerned about the pass rush, but I'm concerned about the pass rush whoever is out there, because that's how good it's been for the Vikings the first handful of weeks. Yes, it would be nice if Jordan was completely healthy and completely mobile when he's out there, but this Vikings defense also, according to Pro Football Focus, has the best rush grade in terms of stopping the run. So it's going to be tough for the Packers to run the football. Let's say for whatever reason, you know, Jordan Love's knee doesn't react the way they want after today or tomorrow, 3 days of work, and they decided to be cautious and hold him out. Running the game plans that they've had with Malik Willis, he needs to be able to throw the ball more, and then throwing the ball more against more pressure, that becomes tough. If you're not able to effectively run the ball, you got to be able to throw it. And the best chance the Packers have clearly of that is Jordan Love. Yeah, you have to be able to try to take advantage of what the Vikings have on the outside. Their front seven's played really, really well, and that's kind of helped them out on the back end. But you need to be able to put the ball in the air. You need to be able to do it efficiently, and nobody's really been able to do that. And it's not like they're playing bad teams. They played the Niners. They played the Houston Texans, and that's why I think it's got everybody's attention. It's not like they just went out there and beat up on the Carolina Panthers, and then they were able to beat up on the Las Vegas Raiders. These are two teams that have high expectations in the Niners and Texans that their defense had their way with.
So one of the things we have talked about, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, was the tight end position and how it's in a weird space in 2024. How do you envision the Packers using the tight end in Sunday's game? Is there a part of you that thinks that then they will be required to offer extra protection at the end of the line in order just to, maybe even especially at the beginning of the game, which means you're sort of taking a weapon off the field, but you are giving Jordan that confidence to kind of grow in his first game back off of injury and feel a little bit more comfortable in the pocket?
I think early you want that extra protection for the tight end, whether it's just staying and chipping and then getting out. But if the Vikings are bringing pressure, you got to get the ball out of your hands quickly. That's how you're going to be able to beat the blitz. And then maybe they start backing off and you can incorporate Tucker Kraft more as the game moves along. But especially early, because I mean, there have been times where, yeah, the offensive line's held up, but there's still been times where, you know, the guys that you're expecting, Rashid Walker's got a handful of holding penalties, Sean Ryan at right guard. I mean, you feel really good about Zach Tom, you feel really good about Elgton Jenkins, but the Vikings are going to pick on the weak spots, and you have to be able to get the ball out of your hands quickly, maybe to get Flores to back off a little bit, and then you can kind of operate as you normally would.
So what would your game plan be early on? Is it to, you know, we had talked about obviously Malik Willis, and we have talked about when they faced tough run defenses and how he was going to have to stretch the field. And that's what they did in the last game, right? They go out there on the first series of the game and you're seeing Malik Willis say, I can throw. Look at me throw on the left side of the field with Jordan Love in there. Based on what we know about the Vikings, based on what we know about his potential limitations coming off the injury, what would your game plan be early to get this thing rolling?
Jaden Reed. Work him, try to get your favorable matchups on the inside of the field, try to get the ball to Jaden Reed early. I think that's, he's your biggest difference maker, at least so far, on the outside. And I think that if you can kind of manipulate, you know, get him on the field, try to, you know, use the motions, whatever you want, to either A, to have the defense tip their hand, or B, get him in a spot where he can get some leverage on a defender. I think Jaden Reed getting the ball in his hands quickly is going to be a huge thing for the Packers to kind of, you know, alleviate the pass rush.
So if I pose the question to you, who will be the biggest determining factor other than Love to the Packers' success on Sunday, are you willing to give Jaden Reed that distinction right now?
Offensively, yes. Offensively, yes. I will say
defensively,
Jaden Reed.
You got a guy?
I mean, it's easy to say McKinney, but I think they have to turn that around.
I think it has to be up front.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they have to turn it around, and they have to get pressure on Sam Darnold as well, or have to do better against the run.
I saw a metric that says that their interior offensive line has not been good, ranking close to last in each of their respective categories through three games this season. Joshy, same question to you. And you can go offensive, defensive if you like. Who is the biggest determining factor other than Jordan Love to the Packers' success on Sunday?
If I have to pick a player, I'm going to pick Josh Jacobs, because I think if you can continue to run, you can put them in a bad spot. I think this run game, as we've seen it so far with all the multiple ways they can attack a defense, is going to be a giant factor to kind of make them call off the dogs. But I think more important than anyone is, once again, Matt LaFleur and his game plan. Everyone's talking about the unique looks that Brian Flores is giving everybody, that's confusing quarterbacks, making it difficult. I think if you do a lot of shifting and a lot of motion, you're going to force them to show their hand more than they want to. You can see some screenshots where Brian Flores is like every single guy on the line of scrimmage or like no deeper than 5 yards. Like if you're moving guys around, they're going to have to kind of bail out and show. So I think,
yeah, because they're out of position, they have to get into position. Right.
And once they're moving, then now they're even more uncomfortable than they are where they are. So I think it's Matt LaFleur is the biggest factor because he's changed two games for the Packers. He's been the biggest factor, but I still think the run game has to be a factor for
them. Yeah, because that's going to, I mean, again, it all ends up working together, but the Vikings have been able to get away with what they've been getting away with because of that pass rush.
Right?
The quarterback needs a little bit extra time. Okay, what are they in? Okay, now I need to go to the, shoot. Now I've got Andrew Van Ginkle in my lap.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see what the highest pre-snap motion rate is and where the Packers rank.
Packers
on
are the first.
That. Really?
Lead the league. They unseated Mike McDaniel.
I had no idea.
It's like,
is that a next gen stat? Can I pull that up somewhere to see that list?
It is. If you look in our share sheet, I believe I put it in there. Someone did all the numbers on it. I expect that number to drop a tiny bit because they were motioning. I think they motioned every single run play except for one, 2 games ago. I think obviously they're using that to their advantage with Malik Willis, but clearly there's something working there, and I don't expect them to stray too far from it.
They're not going to stray too far from it from Matt LaFleur in general.
Well, and they're not going to, and this is not the week to do it, right?
No.
Even if they do stray from it and try to be a little bit more unpredictable, this is not the week to do it. You were referencing Flores and the way that he pre-snap, post-snap.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times where there have been 8 guys. It looks like they're rushing 8, and then all of a sudden they only rush 3. Five mm-hmm. of them drop back into coverage. So they're trying, obviously, to keep you on your heels. They're trying to make him uncomfortable, obviously, in the pocket. 800-990-3776. Who will be the biggest determining factor other than Jordan Love to the Packers' success on Sunday? I still think, again, you mentioned it, getting pressure on that offensive line. Because they have been vulnerable, because they have been likely to make mistakes, to give up pressures, I think that's where they need to make the most hay. And then, of course, you force Sam Darnold into some mistakes. He has been really, really good, obviously, early on. But if you can force him into some mistakes, maybe regress to the mean a little bit, I think that puts you in a really good position. 800-990-3776.
To that point, so the Vikings on Pro Football Focus are the 23rd ranked pass block offensive line.
Yep. But, yep, I know. I know.
Second in run game.
I know. I know. Yep.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Got Aaron Jones revenge game written all over it, and I don't like it, Jen.
We are going to talk about Aaron Jones. He is on our list. We will talk about him as the show rolls on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. And as for the big game that we have been talking about, guys, the line hasn't changed. Still 2.5. Packers are favored. I still anticipate that line changing as the week goes on if we find who will be under center. But you can get the ultimate experience with dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a broadcast booth, a first-class bar, and their new restaurant, The Kitchen. They also have a VIP deck, which is where we do the show, The Weekly Wager, each Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie. Get in on the action.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Football season is back, and I am excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle, just like Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, and more. Explore all 27 refreshing flavors, sparkling or non-carbonated. There is a Celsius for every taste on game day. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit. Reaction rolling in, Justin in Middleton saying, I think Jair Alexander will shut down Justin Jefferson. That will be a key to a Packers victory.
I mean, it is advantageous for the Packers that the Vikings are a little beat up on the outside. Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, you know, so that certainly helps. And they can focus more of their attention on Justin Jefferson. That's very helpful.
How confident are you? We discussed this briefly last night on the Weekly Wager as we were discussing, you know, potential prop bets and whatnot. How confident are you in Jair being able to shut down Justin Jefferson? Would you have him covering him man-to-man throughout most of the game? And all I said to the guys was, there's still a video rolling through my brain of Jair Alexander getting absolutely toasted by AJ Brown week one.
Sure. There should also be a video of him holding Justin Jefferson to the worst game he's ever had in the NFL. That should probably exist in there, too. I understand that was a couple of weeks ago, but it's a lot better than... I would feel better shadowing Justin Jefferson, especially if Addison doesn't play with Jair, than going, yeah, Eric Stokes, best of luck to you, kid. Doesn't seem like a great alternative to me.
Justin weighing in saying, Kenny and Wyatt game, they have to get pressure up the middle. We are in lockstep on that.
It's to me, for them, more important is the run game. If the Packers shut down Aaron Jones, I think they win the game. But if Aaron Jones goes off for 100 yards, it's going to be tough. Because then Minnesota's going to be able to get into everything they want to do.
Have you been confident in what they've been able to do from a run defense standpoint? It was somewhat rhetorical, but I just... didn't even let me finish.
Not even a little bit. Because the two good running backs that they've faced, like Saquon had a great game, and JT ended up having kind of like a quiet game because...
They chose not to run him for some reason in the second half.
Yeah, he had 13 carries for over 100 yards, so they decided to let Richardson throw. And yeah, they had success against Tony Pollard last week, but the two really good backs that they faced, they haven't been able to bottle it up. So hopefully they can come up with a good game plan for that.
Jamie in Orlando saying the difference is Flores has adjusted the defense from where the Packers were when they played them last year. They were leaving gaps in the middle. He's adjusted where that's not been a problem so far this season. Yes, of course, we expect that there should be adjustments, right? If you're decent at all at your job, there would be adjustments. But we also think the Packers will adjust to the adjustments, right? The Packers are making adjustments as well. And that is what I always find so fascinating about the NFL season is how much do you show early on? Which, again, Matt LaFleur and company were in a very unique situation where they kind of had to throw the playbook away, go back to the drawing board in order to put Malik Willis in a position to succeed. But I'm always fascinated by what do you show? How much do you play of your playbook? You know what I mean? And so I think with a division game this early in the season, you really have to put everything out there.
Well, I think you put out everything. I mean, you're adding things as the season goes. And I know Chewy's talked about this where, coaches are watching film of somebody else and going, ooh, I like that play. And you're not necessarily going to put it in, the very next week because everybody else sees the same thing. But maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks down the road, maybe that's when you add that play in.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots to get to in the second hour of the show. How much have you been paying attention to this NIL scandal out at UNLV? Plus, Aaron Jones. We love him, but we don't want him to go off this weekend, right? We are all in agreement. No Aaron Jones big game. We'll discuss right after this.